We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
Is there any way John Fox keeps his job next year, and what must he do?
Well, I think he's running out of options. I think that it's going to be hard to argue with the whole thing. I think the overriding issue here is Mitchell Trubisky, and I think that Fox has to have a plan to develop him. We need to see the kid get better and you know, maybe win some games down the stretch. I felt all along that if he got the 7 wins that he could keep his job, and I think that's still the case, but maybe it isn't. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that it really comes down to wins and losses. I think it's a general feeling. I think that they were hoping not to fire him. I think they want a general sense that he is going to be able to not only stick around here, but maybe do more to help develop the quarterback, and that means change on the staff. And is it possible that the coordinators could leave and Fox could remain? I suppose it's possible, but I think that when you get to the point where you start talking about the development of the quarterback, everything's on the table, it's just going to be interesting to see what happens down the stretch here, because they are now in a pretty decent hole. I don't think they're doing anything in the division. I think their season is going to be a rough one, but you know, it's 1 week off the calendar. As much as everybody's calling for the guy to be fired, there was very little different in that game that hadn't happened in other games. So they need to win some games. But I don't. If I was a betting man, I would say that it's more likely than not that he's not going to be here next year. But I don't think that final decision has been made, and I think that it's a work in progress. And I think he can save his job. I really do.
I don't know if there's actually a number, but even if it's 7 wins, can you find me 4 wins on the balance of the schedule? Would it shock you?
Could you find 3 in the first half of the schedule? I mean, I'm just saying they you know, there's 2 games you have to win.
I was going to say, would it shock you if they lost one of those games to the Browns or Niners?
No, it wouldn't shock me. Because it also wouldn't shock me if they swept Detroit, which I don't think they're going to do.
Yeah.
So it's just a hard call with this team.
And look, I know Phil Armour's not here, but Lovie did get fired with 10 wins, but it was time, right? It was more of a, you know, the shelf life had expired on the long-term coach. I don't know how itchy Ryan Pace is to make a move. And, you know, and you wrote about today in the Chicago Tribune in your column about this is not easy, and there are so many different layers to this thing. You know, George will tell you the flow chart of the corporation and how he lets everyone do their job. So if Ryan Pace comes to him, even at 7 or 8 wins, and says, you know, I need to make a change because of the quarterback, does George let everyone do his job?
Who does Ryan Pace? I mean, think about Ryan Pace for a second. Who does he know? Right? Pete Carmichael Jr. That would be the offensive coordinator down in New Orleans. That would be the guy probably, right, that he knows from down there.
Right.
That guy was in the building when he was in New Orleans. It wasn't like he was out everywhere talking to every coach and all that. It's not like he's been around the league.
No, he doesn't.
Any general manager has his emergency list and has a group of guys that he wants to hire. But what I'm saying is, John Gruden, forget about that. Jim Harbaugh, forget about that.
You're not ordering top shelf. You're going to the well. Yeah.
Because any of
you're
those
getting
guys,
a well drink here. You're getting, yeah.
Right? Nick Saban, Jerry Angelo.
They want to be the president of the organization. I mean, it's not just the coach. I'm a personnel guy. I get final say on everything.
So you're going to hire somebody that's not going to take your job. Right. That changes
the candidates. And then plus the price tag that comes with them. Now, I guess if you're paying them for 2 jobs, you can justify $9 or $10 million. Or whatever it is. But, you know, Jim Harbaugh's not making a move just because he played for the Bears once. And John Gruden, seemingly, if he's going to go anywhere, is going to go back to Tampa or wherever.
So you're talking about getting out of, you know, now, okay, he has his guy. But, you know, what are you going to do then? When that doesn't work, you're going to fire both of them?
Yeah. Well, to answer the question, if they want out, I guess you keep everybody. But if you win the majority of the remaining games, I don't think that's going to be enough, because unless all of a sudden...
The season ended with Green Bay.
I think unless Mitch Trubisky looks like, you know, he's vying for a Pro Bowl spot in the, you know, these seven games, all of a sudden they unleash the hounds and let him start throwing all over the field, and it's not going to happen, and his receiving core all of a sudden turns into Julio Jones times three, it's just not going to happen. So it's all about the quarterback, and those guys aren't here. So I can't make the case for John Fox or anyone to keep their job. Maybe Vic Fangio if he wanted to, but I think he wants to go elsewhere as well.
Mully, maybe it did end in Green Bay. How does going 1-5 with this family play? Not too well. For me, I don't see John Fox coming back. But for the McCaskies, even though I just said that about Green Bay, I think there is a possibility. And how much does the final record have to do with it? I don't know. But if you hit that 8-win mark, I think it will come into play then. If you end up going 8-8, you're able to sell, you know, I don't know if they're going to buy it, but you're able to sell to the fan base. We got 500 record, yep. Rookie quarterback, didn't play the first four games. With Trubisky starting, we actually had a winning record going 7-5. We had more wins in the first half than anybody expected, and then they were able to rack up wins down the stretch. Now, in reality, are they going 5-2? No, they're not. When you expect the Bears to do something, they don't. Case in point, what we saw on Sunday, the tough ones at Philly, and then the last game at Minnesota. Now, that Minnesota game, they might have their position locked up. So who knows who's going to be on the field for the Vikings. God, I hope we're not there, but there's a possibility that John Fox is fighting for his job week 17 at Minnesota, and the Vikings have a bunch of backups on the field. I mean, that would be horrible. So if you keep him, you probably have to bring in a new offensive coordinator, right? So then John Fox is coming in for probably his last year. So then you would have three offenses in 3 years. Yeah, maybe you give him a 1 year.
You give him a 1 year extension, and then you...
You keep kicking the can?
No, I'm not saying you do that. I'm just saying if you're keeping him, that's what you'd do. But does he want a 1 year extension?
Or what's a 1 year?
Take his $5 million and go.
Isn't the last thing you want, though, to have three different offenses for Trubisky in three seasons? Isn't that last thing you want?
Uh huh. No. Nope. Actually, it did work for Cutler because he kept getting paid.
It worked for his bank account. Yeah. I think 8-8 is absolutely correct. I think that would be the only thing that would save him at this point. You know, you saw Trubisky take a step forward, I guess, against Green Bay. I don't know how much credit or
really
you I mean you know no
no
Trubisky didn't have his best game of the season against the Packers.
That's what John Fox told me. Yeah, but
the five sacks were pretty
rough. Five sacks were
because
pretty
that
brutal.
Gets you in the third and longs. Yeah. It was rough.
Statistically, we'll say was the best game of the season.
Get the
John Fox said it
the
was.
Game against Carolina. You might have thought was a little bit better. He threw the ball seven times.
Yeah,
at least they won that one.
Less is more.
You know, a 5-2 finish to the season seems incredibly far-fetched, but I think, you know, just to answer the question, that's what he must do. I think that's what it's going to take. I don't think it'll happen, and I'm going to start the Jim Bob Cooter train right now. That's who I want to see come in here next year, a fresh, relatively young offensive mind to mold the quarterback. That's what everybody wants. So Fox needs to go 8-8. Don't think it'll happen.
Because he's still here right now and he's going to presumably coach the Bears this Sunday, of course there's a chance, right? I mean, I would not still have him anymore as the head coach. I would, if you like what's going on defense this year, I would give Vic Fangio a chance and see what he could do as the big toe of the organization. And you can sit there and say, well, what kind of an offensive coordinator would want to come in? It's still the Bears. It's still run the football. There's going to be a guy, okay? There's a quarterback's coach out there that wants to be an offensive coordinator, that wants to be with the Chicago Bears. I got to think that the Chicago Bears still has some cachet. And with
you're into Adam Gase territory, right? You get a guy to come in here.
Well, no, but
he runs a team.
Fangio
for a
only
year.
Gets like Fangio gets like a 2 year contract or
okay.
something.
Okay, and then second year this guy gets an offer down in Miami.
No,
or
the
whatever.
Second year he gets elevated to be the head coach.
Well, that's what you'd like to do with you know, ideally if you hired if Fox could get a guy to come in here.
See, that's the problem. I think Fox is less likely to get a guy to come in here than a guy
Vic
like
Fangio.
Mayor of the NFL?
Vic Fangio's not taking a 2-year contract to be head coach. Because that tells
you. Well, I think Vic Fangio doesn't have much negotiating, Brian. Vic Fangio's never gotten a head coaching job. I think he'd be thrilled to have, at the end of the day, on his resume, head coach of the Chicago Bears.
I like the idea.
A year, 6 games, 3 years, 5 years. I think he deserves. I think he deserves a shot. I think based on the fans' feelings right now, and you shouldn't. You could say I don't cater the meatballs or whatever.
No, it's listen to the fans and sit next to them. That's the line, isn't it? If you listen to the fans, you wind up sitting next to them.
I like the idea of Jim Bob Cooter because that screams restaurant, right? You want to go to Jim Bob Cooter's tonight, get some barbecue?
That's right.
Get on successful
the
coach.
Plenty of room on the Cooter train, that's Brian, if you want to hop aboard.
Move over Ditka's Pork Chops. We got Jim Bob Cooter's barbecue down there on Rush Street.
What's the question?
I'm getting to it.
Get to the question.
Which team currently among the CFP top four is most likely to be out of the final four? And which team currently outside the CFP top four is most likely to be in the final four?
I'm not drinking the Hurricanes. And watch out, by the way. This is a third consecutive home game, and it's against Virginia. And you take the points with Virginia. Here comes letdown written all over it after Virginia Tech's no longer a ranked team, so I don't know how impressed. Ultimately, if they lose a game, they're out. So, and I think they're going to lose a game here before it's all said and done. Of the, I'm starting to believe the Buckeye. I'm starting to buy the Buckeye argument. Penn State moved up to 10 again by beating Rutgers in the CFP. Explain that to me. They moved like 4 or 5 spots up. So now that Penn State loss looks like a quality loss, even though it was on your home field. You beat Penn State. So now it looks like you did something there by beating a number 10 ranked team. If they win out, they have to have Wisconsin be undefeated in that championship game to make that argument finalized. But I'm going to buy the Ohio State Buckeyes. I think they're going to be, if they win out, they're in.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, Brian. That's the way I was going to go was with Miami out. I hate to not appreciate the Hurricanes' defense, their team speed, the stuff that we saw from them. I think that was a really flawed game plan. I think Dustin's right. I think you came out throwing the ball, you were going to shock the world, and you turned the ball over, and then you got shocked. So I think that Brian Kelly got ahead of himself a little bit instead of playing to his strengths. And Miami, I didn't think they were going to beat Vatek. I didn't think they were going to beat Notre Dame. And you think I would now be convinced that they're going to beat people, but I just think there's going to be a shakeup. I think there's going to be a big shakeup. I think that some of these teams are not done losing. Some of these the shocking weekends are not over yet. So I got to go back to what we saw originally, which was Penn State and Ohio State in the Final Four. I think it's Ohio State over Penn State, and I think Ohio State is a really good football team and has a little something. The more I think about this, about the moving to a Final Eight or whatever. Now you're talking about maybe a 3-loss team getting in. It's that when these teams lose, it's not like some, MAC team is moving up. It is like people know how good these teams are.
Yeah.
And I think that Ohio State has just talent-wise an unbelievable roster. So I guess I'm going with Ohio State and with Miami falling out. But I think more than one has fallen out.
Out Miami. It's unfortunate, but with the way this is set up, and they always grab one team from each conference. Interesting to see this year if the SEC can squeeze two teams in there. I don't think they're going to be able to, but there is that outside chance there. Miami, that's a good call, Brian. A letdown spot after what they did against Virginia Tech, then Notre Dame. They are riding high. You could make the argument that they should have been even higher in that ranking last night, but I think they lose to Clemson and that dominant defensive line in the ACC championship, so I have Miami out. And Ohio State in. Ohio State climbs from 13-9 last night. They have Illinois this weekend at Michigan. Big Ten title game against Wisconsin. You run the table. It's all set up. So you knock out one of those ACC teams, you move up a spot. They're going to move up a spot because they're going to pass up Notre Dame. They'll move up a spot because they're going to beat Wisconsin, if they can do that. Like, it's right there. The path is right there. They just need something to happen at the very top, and I see it. And if you're hunting, I found a website, 50 to 1 Ohio State last night.
Wow. There you go. Futures for the championship?
50 to 1? This is probably the second most talented team in the country.
I might talk to you about that one. That seems like a good one.
He's still got the 8 to 1 Cubs money's cashed.
Oh, yeah. That really paid out for me really well. I had money in Arizona, too.
Let it ride.
I had a 25% shot, and I crapped out. I'm going to go out on a limb here, not with Ohio State, because I agree with you, Joe. I think the path is there. That seems pretty evident at this point. They're extremely talented. They could beat anybody. I think Alabama will flounder here before the end of the season. I don't know if it's against Auburn in a couple weeks. I don't know if it's in the SEC championship game, but I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb here and say that everybody's favorite happy football coach, Nick Saban, will be disappointed by the end of the season, hopefully.
Well, of course, I'm going to say Miami's going to be the team that gets knocked out, and they will lose in the ACC title game December 2nd under the lights against the Clemson Tiger, so Clemson stays in. I believe in Auburn right now. They looked unbelievable against Georgia. Georgia's a really good, high-powered run defensive team, can't throw the ball. I think Auburn's going to beat Alabama, and I think Auburn is the most likely team to get into the top four.
I'm tortured by this question.
Are you pumped up for Chris Dunn's first start for the Bulls tonight in Oklahoma City?
Boy, pumped up. That's a bit optimistic. I think Chris Dunn's got a little Lonzo Ball to his game, right? I mean, I don't see this guy being able to shoot.
I was going to say, because neither of them can shoot.
Yeah, that becomes a problem. I think that, you know, you play off the, he's fine when he's going 100 miles an hour, and if he can stop turning the ball over and he can get to the basket, but he's really got to improve his shooting to play in the NBA. So am I excited about it? No, I'm not necessarily excited about it. I'm not sure how much talent he has. There's a lot of red flags for me with him. You know, he was a great college player, but he played college. He stayed in college, and it's very rare that a guy at his age would be selected in the top five. I think it hadn't happened in like 10 years when he did it. And, you know, he's got to be further along in his career, kind of. And I'm not overly impressed, but okay, I'll go with it. Pumped up. Yay, team.
Yeah, and pumped up in anything with the Bulls this season, that's a...
We're really pumped up about that.
That's a stretch, Hawk. Stretch. No, I'm not pumped up. Interested, yes, because I know Zach LaVine's coming back, and he's a big part of that deal. But Chris Dunn was the centerpiece of that deal.
No, LaVine was the centerpiece.
No, by a mile. No, because they were going to trade Jimmy Butler to go get Chris Dunn a year before that Boston. No. So they were after Chris Dunn. So in their minds, it was all about Chris Dunn, first and foremost.
Yep. No, if that's the case, fire everyone.
Yeah. So he's got to be the guy. He's got to be a guy for sure. Not just he can't just be a guy. He's got to be one of the guys. He's got to be one of the alphas. So I'm interested to see how this plays out. Pumped up? No.
Last few games, he's been playing high 20s, low 30s as far as minutes go. He just hasn't started. So I'm not pumped up about Chris Dunn. Not one of the few most interesting things going on with this team. Markkanen, LaVine, when he returns.
Was he the centerpiece of that trade, though?
Dunn?
In the Bulls' eyes?
No, I don't think
so. In the Bulls' eyes, they were trying to get...
Wasn't he the third piece?
I thought it was Markkanen, and I thought it was LaVine.
The year before, they were trying to get the deal done with Boston to get the pick to use on Chris Dunn.
So was that Tibbs? Was that Tibbs or was that them?
I assume they ended up with the guy. I assume it was them.
Yeah. I viewed him as the third piece because you got a year where he really struggled
value
in Minnesota.
Plummeted as a rookie.
And he's turning 24 in March. Most interesting stuff to me is LaVine marketing the draft pick. Maybe one of them was playing last night at the United Center, and the talking drama or non-talking, whatever is going on there.
It's all very mature. I really love what's going on.
The camera work is great.
At the Advocate Center. I don't know. No, I'm not pumped up for the game. I'm not completely writing off Chris Dunn. I think there might be something there. He could be a viable NBA player at some point. But I'm a little bit more pumped up for Boston and Golden State tomorrow night on TNT. I think that'll be a fantastic game. So hopefully that will come a little bit sooner than me getting pumped up for Chris Dunn.
I can't get pumped up for much about the Bulls. I guess this Nico story and that Portis and how Captain Redass is handling it is got my attention, if anything. But no.
That's a heck of a question. I've been doing this a long time, and that's the first time anyone's ever asked me that. That's a heck of a question.
How should UCLA discipline the three players who are accused of shoplifting in China?
Well, if it's left up to Steve Alford, they'll be playing tonight against, Central Arkansas, or their home opener against St. Mary's of the Poor. You can't sit them down against a team like that, all right? If you're going to suspend them, it can't be against some of these non-conference games. South Carolina State, they have coming up, Central Arkansas. It was interesting to see him do the perp walk at LAX because the media was waiting for him to get off the come out of the terminal, and they made a quick exit to a van and off they go without saying anything. The chancellor, Gene Black, said the Office of Student Conduct will be looking at this, but those proceedings are confidential. Well, guess what? When the president has to intercede to get your guys out of China, you can't keep whatever punishment's coming confidential. That ship has sailed. So, I don't know. They've missed one game already. They missed the game in China. I don't know what the number is. I'd make them do community service. I'd make them go out there and get out of their little basketball bubble and work in a soup kitchen, do something to maybe realize that life isn't all about luxury hotels and charter flights and NBA. So I'd get creative with the punishment, but they also should sit down a certain number of games here too.
I got to tell you, I don't know anything about the other two players, and I know the one guy because his father is a big loudmouth guy, and that's what the problem I have with this story is. One of the reasons this is a story is because it's LeVar Ball's kid, and he's big loudmouth selling shoes, and his family's taking over the world, and his son's not doing great in the NBA.
Right.
And now here comes the next kid, and it's people just love that this guy's having a hard time.
A little humble pie here for.
Well, and it has nothing to do with the kid or what he did or what he and his teammates did. We wouldn't care about this story if it wasn't for the big baller brand and it wasn't for the big baller dad and all of that stuff. And I am surprised at the glee people are taking in the fact that that this kid was caught doing something wrong and there's his father. I'm not a big fan of LeVar Ball, believe me, but at least he's involved in his kids' lives, right? Too involved, okay. Too much about himself, I'm not going to argue. But he's there, and he's trying to be a father in maybe a poor way, whatever. I'm not really interested in the guy. I find the guy to be kind of a loudmouth guy. I wouldn't want to talk to him. I wouldn't want to hear him go on like that to me. Having said that, I think that they should give these kids, slap them on the wrist, give them a few games. They were stuck in China. That's scary stuff. If you're not scared straight by that, I don't know what's going to scare you straight. They have to discipline them. It probably should be more than three games, but I'll say eight just because that's what you get for breaking a guy's face in the NBA. So go ahead, give them eight games. Seems like a fun number. And
are you allowed to practice?
And yeah, of course. Yeah. Whatever they did with Bobby Portis should be applied here. But I think that the reason this is a story is because the kid's father, and not because of the kid, not because of the other two kids. Whatever they did, it is a college kid matter of discipline type thing. And, I feel kind of icky that everybody got involved in it. It's just a dumb thing to do, and don't go to China anymore.
Let's say China.
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 Yes. What is it? He just says China funny, right?
He does.
He got them out of this. Yes.
I have to have my China.
Makes a nice wedding gift.
Steve Alford still hearing about how he handled things when he was back at Iowa. So I'd love to hear these conversations and what he's fighting for when he really wants these players to come back. It's funny Molly mentioned eight games because eight games, just looking at their schedule, that's an absolute nothing. They're playing,
that's what I'm saying.
They're playing nobody. There are 12 non-conference games, and that's where I would go. Near the end of their non-conference games, they're playing some top teams like Cincinnati and Kentucky. So I think for the non-con, this is where you really hit the kids. This is what they want to do. They just want to play basketball, right? They want to improve their stock. I don't know how good all of them are, and Molly's right. We know about them because of the ball kid. But you've got to go at least the 12 non-conference games before Christmas.
Yeah, I think somewhere around half the season would be fair. You can't just do one or two games, especially this early in the season, but I don't think you go overboard and you go the whole season. I think that might be a little extreme. So the entire non-conference schedule, they should be suspended, and maybe even a few of the first conference games as well.
So they'd be running, and then they'd run, and then they'd run some more, and then they'd run, and then we're going to run until we puke, Bobby Knight. Okay, they'd be running. That's the start. I like Brian's idea of community service, maybe 50 hours. I think a 10-game suspension is worthwhile. Here's the problem. You're messing up. If you threw the kids off the team or suspend the kids for 15, 20 games, or you say they're not allowed to participate in the Pac-10 or if they were able to make the NCAA tournament, now you're messing with the other kids that committed. And the NCAA and UCLA aren't going to let the rest of those kids get out of their commitment to UCLA. So you're messing with their lives now. Okay, mess with these three Jamokes' lives. How about the fact that they were mobbed? Brian, you're right. I mean, not only was the media there, there were like hundreds, maybe 1,000 people met these idiots at the gates.
Autographs.
Like they're some type of special people.
Political prisoners.
Now, that's a good question.
Joel Quenneville said the 8-8-2 Hawks need to have a sense of urgency. Is it do or die time for the team?
It's very curious. No, it's not do or die time. I think, though, that Joel senses that there are guys that are new to the squad that don't fit in, or there are younger guys that don't understand what you have to do to win, and he's trying to create that sense of urgency. You know, they're a 500 team. They started the season that you thought they were going to be pretty good, and they have kind of, they leveled off early. They started losing some games. He is fighting against the wave of negativity coming off that team. He is fighting them to force them to win. He is coaching his rear end off. But it is a very long season. I don't think it's do or die time yet. I think that that's coming. I think this has to do with the commitment they make in game, with what they're bringing in game, with how they're preparing for the game. So I think he's seeing some bad habits that he's trying to quash immediately. And I don't believe that he thinks this is a must-win time, but I think that it's these little habits. It's all these little things that add up to a win or a loss, and he's seeing far too many that would add up to a loss. And I think that he's just going at them as a coach does when he wants a team to improve. And I think the young guys will improve as the year goes on, and he's trying to teach them how to win. So I personally don't think it's make or break time for the Blackhawks right now at this point in the season. But I think that it could be later on if they don't get this stuff squared away.
You know, it's interesting. Steve Rosenblum wrote a column a few days ago that over the last 5 years, Western Conference playoff teams, 75% of those teams were set by Thanksgiving. That if you were not in the playoff picture, you had 25% chance of getting back in there, and that, which is, you know, weird to say. You're 20%. The season is done. You have 80% in front of you. But that's a little bit of a trend that should create some concern. The idea that Connor Murphy's been a healthy scratch for three games now.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
And beyond Brandon Saad, that was your next big move when you sent Hammer packing. And
you know, that one really had to upset Joel.
Yeah.
When you think about it,
yeah.
Because Hammer was his guy. And to bring in a guy that does
the
general manager wanted.
You got an aging, slow defense, and the young guy doesn't like the guy. Yeah.
Joel's got to get over that one. He's got to get that guy up and running because we can't have another, what was the guy's name, Daly last year. We can't have that happen again.
Yeah, so I don't know if, you know, he and Stan are going to have this kind of battle of wills. You bring this guy in, and if he's not going to, you know, as soon as he slips up, he's going to be in the press box. There should be a sense of urgency because the other night they scored, you know, they solved the scoring the goals part, and they end up coughing up the lead part that became an issue when they were up 4-1, and you think they had that game ready to go and in hand, and next thing you know they're losing that game. So you got the red hot Rangers come in, you've got Pittsburgh. I mean, this is a tough week. So if you buy the Thanksgiving theory, you've got the next three games, pretty much must-win games. Because right now you're on the outside of the playoff picture looking in. You're not even a wild card team, and you're well behind the Blues in the division.
Yeah, I agree with Quinville that they need to have a sense of urgency, but less than a quarter of the way into the year, I'm just not going to say that. It's do-or-die time. But this is a different feeling, right? How many years? Well, every year we would say, flip the switch. When are the Hawks going to flip the switch? When are they going to do it? We know it's going to happen. Just it's a matter of when are they going to flip the switch. This has a completely different feel.
Yeah.
Uncharted territory.
They need Marian Hossa, believe it or not.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just Taves slumping. It's not just one line you got to get going. It's a host of issues here.
Right. You need a guy who plays a couple ways.
This is what it looks like when the window is starting to slowly shut. You know, they've been so good and so consistent for so many years, and eventually, you know, it had to dissipate at some point. So while they're not completely the dregs of the NHL quite yet, they are, look at 8-2. They're a very mediocre team, and every year now with this same core, it's going to start to fall by the wayside a little bit. So there needs to be more urgency, I think, than there normally would be this early in the season. I still think they can catch fire and make a run here, but it does feel a lot different. That's very true.
If not now, when? I can't live with what Joe said, and that, not Joe Quinville, Joe Ostrowski, that they're going to turn it on. Let's go. Enough. Absolutely, absolutely enough. I'm sick of it. Absolutely. It looks like a team that's still hung over from Nashville last year. Absolutely sick of it.
All right, that is the 5 at 5, 312-644-6767. Is there any way that John Fox keeps his job? Do you want John Fox back? It's a different question. It's whether or not he can be back, and which team currently among the college football top 40 you think is bombing out, and who's going to take their place? Are you pumped up for Chris Dunn's first start? How do you feel about Chris Dunn starting for the Bulls? What do you think? What should the discipline be for the UCLA players? Are you going to go after them a little bit and teach them a lesson? No shoplifting in China. You're okay if you go to the mall, but shit, don't do it in China.
China because China.
Yes.
And how about the Blackhawks at 8-2? Is this is there no sense of urgency, and does there have to be one? And is Joe going to be able to beat it into him? Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.